stuck in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld.
Okay, everybody, good evening. I am already laughing. I was waiting till it sounded like the Monster Mash. Good evening, and thank you so much for being a part of Mrs. Green's World premiere edition of Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. And if you can't already tell, we are going to have a blast. We are live. We have no commercials. We're being filmed by our friend Scott from Legendary World, the legend in his own mind. It's all good, and it's so exciting. So the in-studio guests for tonight are two wise young men, and I've been talking to them a little bit off air. They are Conrad Breyer. Did I say it right, Conrad? Thank you. And Alex Goodwin. They are both sixth graders, not kidding. Conrad is at the Academy of Tucson, and Alec attends the Sonoran Science Academy. They're best friends, and I got the pinky swear on that one. They have deep, dark secrets that they won't share on the air, and they're going to share with us about their green haunted house and other things that they think are important to help preserve this planet of ours. I think they'll knock your green organic socks off. I'm so blown away by talking with both of them that it gives me lots of hope for the planet. Just a word about Mrs. Green. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. And I would love it. Love, love, love it. That's with a little bell there. If you would follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and you can listen every Saturday live at noon, Arizona time, which is not like any other time, or right now Pacific Standard Time at MrsGreensWorld.com. I interview guests from all over the country and from right here in Tucson, as I'm doing tonight, from every aspect of living green that you can think of, from fashion to food and green building. We love it, and we cover it all, and we get you to think. We don't tell you how to. So is it okay with you guys if I do a little background on how this show came about?
Sure.
Sure. I got permission. Conrad's mom was on the show, and she works for the Nature Conservancy and teaches rainwater harvesting classes, among other things. And she was an in-studio guest, and she brought Conrad. So I said to him, talking off air and talking before and after the show, hey, Conrad, you should do a radio show with me sometime. And he is in sixth grade, okay? We heard that. And he said, that sounds great, Mrs. Green. So what was it, Conrad? About 2 weeks later, maybe?
Yeah.
I think so. 2 weeks later, you were listening to Mrs. Green on 92.9 The Mountain about Green Halloween.
Yep.
And you said, I've got a good idea. We have a green haunted house. And I said, you're on. And we set the date. And the other thing that I think is important is you really did it. You called me. It wasn't your mom. You followed up. You got Alex. And I think there's a lot to be said for that in terms of leadership. So as a mom and a grandmom, I want to really applaud you for your follow-up. And here we are live. And who knows how many times. You might be my sidekick. You never know. Okay. So let's talk about your green haunted house. Why don't we start there?
Okay.
You ready?
So we have a haunted house every year around Halloween in the week before, and we really do things that haunted houses that are really public don't do. As our walls, we use sheets.
Okay.
For mannequins, we use old shirts filled with unused toilet paper rolls.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay, that's a great hint.
And you'll see that the masks we have in the haunted house are probably 20 years old. We use them every year.
So who were they passed down from? They weren't from your Halloween costumes.
No, they're from everybody we can get them from.
Okay, so you put those on the mannequins?
Or we'll, like, we had this water heater. It's about 5 feet tall in my garage.
Okay.
And we put a Darth Vader mask on it.
Okay.
And we put a black cloak around it.
I love it.
And when you walked around the corner, you saw this Darth Vader standing there. And it was actually kind of creepy.
Okay.
Because
Darth Vader
right
is kind of creepy.
Yeah. So it's just an example of how you can be green in Halloween.
Okay, so stuffed toilet paper rolls, sheets. Where do you get the sheets?
Well, we get them from our old beds.
Okay,
we throw out
good.
Our beds,
old
stuff
sheets,
like that.
So you're not throwing them in the garbage.
Plus, I play baseball.
Okay.
And the shades for the dugouts were becoming ripped and torn. And so we decided that we would ask the manager, who he gave them to us, and we use them as walls in our haunted house now.
Okay, what else is in it? I'm coming. I'm coming to your haunted house. What else is in it, Alex?
We have some, we use, like, old boxes. Like, we got some, just, like, vacuum cleaners, stuff like that. We have big boxes, and we put, like, old tablecloths over them as tables. And we put, some of scary things on them.
So, as best friends, what made you have this idea in the first place? That's what I want to know. I mean, you're only, like, in sixth grade, so you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years? You just cooked this up?
Yeah, we've been doing the party for 5 years.
Okay.
And the haunted house has been going on for 3 years, or this is our third year, actually. And we started with the parties, and we had, like, little carnival games and stuff like that. And it didn't start as really a haunted house. It started as one little haunted attraction in my backyard on my playset.
Okay.
And so we put black sheets around it, and then we had a little doorway. And as you walked in, my dad, who has a really low voice, was sitting behind a sheet and taking the person's hand and putting it in noodles. And he'll be like,
"Like that scares me."
Right.
Yes.
And so he'd put them in like cold grapes, and then he'd send them out, and the next person would come in.
Oh my God! So your dad has it in his blood to be a trickster too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's in our haunted house. So.
Okay.
And then
don't tell me too much because I want to be scared.
All right.
Okay.
So then we had this great idea of let's do a real haunted house. So we have it in our garage. We have twists and turns made out of sheets, like I said, and we have people jumping out and scaring you, and it's just really fun. And it really demonstrates how you can do anything, even if you're in a small town like Tucson.
Gosh, I love it. Now, Alex, do you scare people? Is that part of your role?
Yeah. I think Conrad is first, or either my stepdad. But I hide close to the beginning, and I noticed that you don't have to wear a mask when you jump out at someone because it's dark, and it gets really hot inside a mask.
And so, very hot. And I'll be one of the ones screaming. A bunch of kids that I am very good friends with that I've known since third grade did a haunted house at Pueblo High School for a fundraiser. And I went in it and it was really, really, really dark. And this is the scariest thing that happened to me. And I'm sharing it here on the air. My shriek was heard around the world. And it might be a good idea for you. It was really, really dark. And I'm walking in. I don't like that feeling anyway. I'm scared of Darth Vader. Okay. Right. I really think there is a Darth Vader. And someone grabbed my ankle. Oh, yeah, look at their faces lit up. And I was terrified. I just screamed. And I was like, I wanted to get out. And they turned the lights on and everybody was hysterical laughing. They had set it up because they had gotten, like they had built in shop like a coffin. And so, you know, you saw this coffin barely see. They had little, those black lights, you know, purple black lights.
Right.
But my eyes had not adjusted. So there's a little tip for your haunted house.
We actually did that last year.
You grabbed somebody's ankle?
I was in the very front, and I had this thing that was like a grabber, and I stuck it out of a hole in the sheet and grabbed somebody's ankle. And I wouldn't like hold on to it.
Right.
Just hit the handle a bunch of times. And they would scream, or they'd run away.
Run away. I'd be doing both.
And they wouldn't run out. They'd run deeper into the haunted house to get scared again.
Get scared. Where Alex is waiting to pounce on them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's okay. That sounds like a really great team. Okay, so what else? I think that Halloween for sure is one of my favorite times of year. You can see if you look around Mrs. Green's house. It's a wonderful holiday as far as I'm concerned. It's Mr. Green's birthday, and we've been married for 36 years, so that makes it extra special. I think he gets kind of ripped off as a birthday boy, but we try to do the best we can. And so what are some of the other ideas that you have for, or do you have any, for greening your Halloween in terms of costumes? In terms of the biggest stumper for me is, what do you give out for Halloween that's healthy? Because as for me, I want the candy. I just want it for one day. And I mean, let's do it. Okay, let's sugar up and then get rid of it. But then that's wasting food. So what do you two have in terms of sharing ideas for other green Halloween? Alex, what's your big green idea?
My friend Conrad, so, and this is for both of us, we always get these really not very interesting little, like, play toys, like party favors from birthday parties or anything. And so, frankly, we don't really want them, so we're just giving them out to people.
That is absolutely and positively hysterical. Give me a couple of examples.
like little plastic yo-yos.
Right.
With the string that's like really tiny.
Right.
Or like little...
And they only work about three times.
Right.
Yes,
or like
okay.
little plastic skeleton figures that
right.
you move their head and they break off. So, I mean, we give out candy, but it's much better to get rid of those things than to throw them out.
To throw them out. And then... What about those little, like I've gotten them, they're in a little plastic case and they're those sticky hands that you, that scare me, but I like them. You ever get those for party favors?
Yeah, we give those out all the time.
Okay, so maybe you can save one of those for Mrs. Green.
All right.
Now, what about other ideas like for your costumes? You don't go to the store and buy a new costume in one of those boxes that are polyester and plastic. What do you think, Alex? What are your ideas, some of your best ideas for green Halloween costumes, and where do you go?
A nice idea is, like, I know this is kind of a cliche, but I guess you could just get a big sheet and cut out holes, and you could add accessories to it.
Yes,
it could be like
true.
A ghost
get
sheet.
Creative with your sheet. Okay, I like that. But that is very green. I think some of the best costumes in the world are witches' costumes that come out of things you have in your closet. What about you, Conrad? What's your thought on a green Halloween costume?
Well, Alex and I have literally worn the same costumes for a couple years.
You're kidding.
And we just alter them a little. Like, maybe one year we have a skeleton mask.
Right.
And then the next year we have a... pumpkin mask.
Okay.
And we use the same cloak because it's black, it still works, and it still fits because
okay.
they were really big when we got them.
That's
and they just, it's fantastic because you don't have to go out and buy them, and then you don't throw them out. We have this huge bin of
we
costumes
do too.
And little, like, play swords and stuff.
Right.
And we just throw it all in there, and then when people come over to our house, we play with those, and when... we go out for Halloween, we use those too. So
I think that's a great idea. Now, what do you use for, do you guys actually go trick-or-treating? I know when I was a kid, I can't even describe it to you what it was like because I don't know if those days exist anymore because I'm so old. But we would come home from school and usually we got a little pass on homework from the teachers and the nuns. I went to Catholic school and we would literally run home, get in our costumes, and we could go.
Run
we could roam
out.
The streets. There was nothing, no razor blades and apples. That's why I love it. And I'm a sugar addict in recovery. So do you guys actually go trick-or-treating? It sadly become a safety issue in some neighborhoods. There are neighborhoods in Tucson, though, that are hundreds of people, hundreds of kids.
Right.
So do you trick-or-treat, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, we find it really fun, even though we're getting pretty old. But
ancient. Oh, my gosh. Yep, you're getting pretty old. I think you're both getting gray hair.
Yeah.
So you're never too old. My daughter, who's 23, I think she trick-or-treated till she was 18. So you're never too old. And
yeah.
I couldn't hide with her anymore, but that's good. So do you go trick-or-treating, Conrad?
Yeah, we usually go to one of our friends' house or we trick-or-treat in my neighborhood.
In your neighborhood? And are there a pretty fair amount of trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, there are a lot of kids in my neighborhood and in our friend's house even more. So we usually, or for the past couple years, we've gone to my friend's house.
Okay. Because there are really great neighborhoods,
yeah.
And I think safety is important. And I think, I remember for a while, we had to check our kids' trick-or-treat bags to make sure there was no open packages. I mean, I don't think that that's a scare that's around very much anymore, but I think we still have to be cautious and be careful. And
moms
I do want to
still do that.
Yes, I think that moms should really still do that. I have to say that I really do. There's nothing, no such thing as being too safe. Okay, so green costumes, do you ever go, since you have, this is an amazing answer to me, so you don't have to go to places like Goodwill or Savers or whatever if you're keeping the same costume and just adding a mask. Do you ever paint your faces?
I was a vampire one year and I painted
That's
my face.
That's awful.
And
yes.
This year I'm going to be a zombie.
Okay.
So I'm going to paint my face.
Paint your face. That's right. That's okay. And again, it's one of those things where every once in a while you just have to go ahead. It might not be very green, but it sure is fun. And to me, part of sustainability is having fun. Alex, are you going to share with us what you're going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to be a zombie, but a zombie doctor. And it's cool.
Interesting. Okay, we've got a lot to look forward there. Okay, so let's talk about living. Both of your moms are here in studio with us, which I think is wonderful. It sounds like it's a whole family affair. How much do your parents get involved in the making of the haunted house? Is it a group effort?
Definitely. They do a lot of the work, and we do work too.
Okay, but that's good.
They do a lot of work, and I really thank them every time, and I'm going to thank them again. So
okay,
thank
now
you.
We're on the air. My gosh. Okay, that's really awesome. And it is, and it's fun, yes?
Yeah.
Really fun. Okay. Now, what about the way that you live at home? Let's segue a little bit from, and probably you know what segue is and how to spell it, because I know, they're both saying that's no big deal for them. So let's segue to your homes and what kinds of things that you do at home in terms of living a more sustainable life. Do you both have green practices as families that you want to share with us?
Well, our family does a lot of recycling.
Okay,
and
excellent.
And so we always have tons of, like, boxes.
Right.
We just, like, have tons by the door, and then we throw them in the recycling bin.
Okay. What about you, Conrad?
If you look at our backyard, at least one-third of it is my mom's garden.
Awesome. Okay.
She has like 12 different garden boxes.
Okay.
And she's got rainwater harvesting barrels all over.
And not surprising.
It's so green that at first you think, oh, that's kind of easy to set up. And
no.
It doesn't mean anything. But when you look at it, we save a lot of water. And we grow a lot of food. My mom eats a salad almost every night. And
from the garden?
Most
no
of the
pesticides,
time.
No yep. insecticides, no herbicides. That's really awesome. Okay. And what about, are you a salad guy?
I'm not.
I wasn't either.
I would say Alex is a very big
Alex,
salad guy.
You a salad guy?
Yeah, I get into that a lot.
Okay. Do you ever raid the garden next door? Or
maybe.
At Conrad's? That might be one of the secrets
yeah.
that they don't share. Okay. What other kinds of things does your mom grow in the garden?
Flowers, of course. She
okay.
loves flowers.
Beautiful.
But she likes, this year she's growing peppers,
right?
Lettuce, and I just actually went out and watered them yesterday.
Okay.
Peppers, lettuce.
What about tomatoes?
Pumpkins, tomatoes.
Okay. Pumpkins. Okay.
Yes.
Did you have any ready for Halloween? Not yet.
Sadly,
no?
Not this year. Last year we had some, though. And
okay.
We carved them and put them out front, so.
I'll be watching that. So each of you, I'd like you to answer this question. Do you think that your awareness for some of these things that you're talking about, did it come from the house, from the homes that you're from? Because a lot of kids, a lot of parents actually, that I interact with more on the radio say their kids are the ones that get them to be greener and to recycle. And they're the ones that are always giving the nudge because they're hearing good things at school. Which, the chicken or the egg? Did you hear it at home or both? How did you start on this great green path?
It was kind of weird because I didn't really learn it. Well, a few years ago, it was probably just last year or a year or two back.
It just seems like a couple of years ago because,
yeah.
You guys are outgrowing Halloween.
when we used to go to the same school, we had these recycling boxes, and I was in student council, same with him.
Right.
And we would, take all the recycling boxes and throw them in this huge bin for, trucks to throw them in their
right,
garbage.
Right, to come and pick up. Okay, so that's one aspect of it. Okay, what about as at your ages, do you try to do things, are there other things like, turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth, or turn the lights off when you leave the room? How important do you think those things are for kids your age?
Well, every little thing helps, and I can't stress that enough. Even just turning the light off in your closet will make a difference.
It will. You're absolutely and positively right. Alex, what do you? Do you buy that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? So you try?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try.
And you said, Alex, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about it's. Did you say, it really fast, FFL?
Yeah, FLL.
FLL. So you said it so fast. And
yeah.
Okay, and I'm from New Jersey. I can usually keep up. So what's FLL? And explain that to our listeners, because that's a neat concept that you can be sure I never heard of.
FLL is called the First Lego League, and we do Lego robotics, but another part of it is...
Lego robotics?
Yeah, it's a... It's not like Lego bricks.
Right.
We use these things called Technic pieces, and they're kind of like beams and stuff, and we connect them to like little robots.
Okay, my grandson would absolutely be all over this. You can teach him when he comes again. He's 7, and he's a Lego master. Ascended, I am not kidding. Okay, so go ahead. So it's robotics. I even get what that is.
It's kind of, we do tasks, and each year there's a different topic. And 2 years ago was transportation. 1 year ago was, like, the body, and this year is food. And so there's also a research project associated with robotics. And every year it's the same question, except they add something, or they just change one little part.
Okay.
And it's find a problem with food and solve it in your community. And so what we're thinking is milk a lot of the time can, you don't know if it's spoiled or not, even
right.
though if
right.
it smells.
Yes, that's right.
And we're like developing this thing that can sense if the milk is contaminated or not.
I am not feeling really the most intelligent one in this conversation right now. I can tell you that. It's impressed. Now, is this part of your school at the Sonoran Science Academy, or is it a separate activity that you're involved in?
It's kind of weird because this is a separate thing, and The Sonoran Science Academy has their own team.
Right.
And so I'm going to be going against them, which is kind of weird going against my own school.
And hoping you win, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's competitions. And then how do you showcase it? Is there an event that you go to, or is it done online, or how does that whole thing work?
It's pretty hardcore. It starts at regionals, and anyone who does really well makes it to state, and
right.
we did. We got first place in regionals last year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
And then we moved to state, and before I joined the club, they got invited to the World Series, and it was just like...
And so do you go, like, to a convention center or something, and then people watch what you've created, and they judge it? Is that how it works?
The judges do that, but they also, with their tasks that the robot has to do, and you get points for them, and teams head off against each other, and it's... really fun, and it usually takes place at like middle school or something
right,
like that.
Right, right, right. What a healthy, 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 wonderful thing to get involved in. It's really amazing. Okay, so what about, we answered some of the things that you're doing in your families. What about your schools? How much of a priority is it in your schools to practice all aspects of sustainability? Do you hear it from the teachers? Do you hear it from the principal? And in case somebody just tuned in, Alex goes to the Academy. Alex goes to the Sonoran Science Academy, and Conrad is a sixth grader at the Academy of Tucson. So, Conrad, what is your school doing to be a more sustainable community, or are they? I don't want you to say anything bad about your school. It's got a great reputation,
right.
But what are they doing?
Well, like Alex said, when you're in student council, you take recycling bins, you unload the recycling bins and
right.
stuff like that. Also, we have, at lunch, we have people walking around collecting pop tabs or soda can tabs,
right?
And those like juice pouches, like
right.
Capri Sun,
right?
We have
for TerraCycle,
right?
Yes, okay.
And so the we also do like box tops. We do those, and those all the stuff we raise goes to charity.
Okay,
and it's just our school does a lot of student involved things. It's not like, oh, we're going to do this on our school. We're going to add solar panels. You guys don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's maybe, can you help us with this? Do a research project on the math during the solar panel. So it's really kid involved on how our schools are sustainable.
And I think for most kids, how amazing is that? Because we all have different ways of learning, and that can involve all the different ways that you learn and process information. If you're a visual learner, or if you have to touch or see models or whatever. Alex, what would you say about your school? What type of sustainability commitment do they have?
Well, my school's on an Air Force base, and so they don't like it when you're throwing trash on the ground.
I bet not. The MPs will tag you.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
It's almost, I'm into recycling and stuff, but some kids who don't really think it's important kind of have to. But
okay, so there it's enforced.
Yeah.
Recycling and no littering is enforced. Well, that's really good.
Better than not doing it at all.
It is. It's absolutely better, no matter what the outcome is the same. So that's really a good idea. Now, what about, I want to ask you some, we honestly have 5 minutes left, and I don't know about you, but it's time is flying. I cannot believe that we have only 5 minutes left. So let's talk a little bit about the global view. And I'm very interested in, since you are truly two amazing young men, you give me hope for the future. What do you think some of the biggest issues are? Do you spend time thinking about that we're facing as a planet or as a community or as your school or as your family? What do you think if you could tackle one issue at your young ages, what would you look at? Conrad, what's your answer?
Well, at the beginning of this year, or about summertime, I was watching the Republican debate.
Okay.
And we listened from beginning to end, nonstop.
Okay.
And there was literally not one question about education.
You're kidding.
And I was literally screaming at the TV.
I wish I had the YouTube for that.
Education! And it was so terrible. I was so shocked that I, for Boy Scouts, I had to write a letter to John McCain.
Okay.
And I literally wrote this letter about education and what I think we can do in our community and in the nation.
Well, I happen to agree with you from the bottom of my very green heart that education and literacy are the keys to changing our world. Because if you can read, if you're literate, and you have information, access to knowledge, you're going to live a more conscious life. Alex, what do you think one of the biggest challenges facing our globe or our community or your life is right now?
I think we're using too many fossil fuels because I think we're wrecking the environment. And there are tons of inexhaustible resources like the sun and wind power and hydroelectric power and geothermal energy from inside the earth. So I think what we could do is we could start installing more solar panels.
Right, right.
Like the military base has a huge array of them.
Very, very impressive. They're on board with solar. Okay, so energy, clean energy. It's a huge one. I went to this wonderful presentation last week at the University of Arizona, and they had some of the top solar and energy people from around the country. There was a man from NREL, the National Renewable Energy Lab, and I am very serious. If I had known what he was going to talk about, I would have invited you to. It was that good. He should run for president. But he said, and I believe that this is accurate, that China is building a coal-powered fuel plant, you know, a coal-powered plant every 3 days because the demand for energy is so great and they have the labor force. I know you guys are shaking your head. Well, at least get that on video because it is a head shaker. It's unbelievable. And the United States has to really step up. So education and fossil fuels, two of my favorites. Do you think about one of my other topics is clean water. Do you ever stop and realize how lucky we are to have clean water to brush our teeth and take a shower and a clean drink of water?
Yeah, when you look at it, a lot of countries don't have this clean water.
It's hard to believe.
And I just got back from a wilderness survival campout, and we had to purify our water. And it was amazing. You could look at the purifier, and there was so much dirt and bugs, and you could just see the dirty.
How long was the wilderness thing?
That was for one weekend.
I'm never doing that. I just want to know right now. It's the Mrs. Green does not camp. Alex, what about you?
For the research projects for the Lego robotics, it started out as a water cleaner.
Right, right.
The sense of the water was bad or not. But, the FLL didn't say that it counted as food, so...
Okay, well, I have to tell you, we have about, 45 seconds left, and I feel like my world is better because both of you are in it, and I say that from my heart. Conrad Breyer and Alex Goodwin, they are both unbelievable young men. You give me hope for the future. We will have this available for a podcast. I thank you both for what you're doing for the planet. Happy Green Halloween, and blessings and thanks to everybody who tuned in for Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We said we were going to have a blast, and so we did. Let's hear a little shout out. Okay. Thanks, everybody.